Money in the Bank.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
I'm Sun Kid Marella.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always liked a good rack, and you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host,
Kitty.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're
here. Hit me. Hit me. Hit me. Hit me. Hit me some new. Hit me some new. Hit me some new.
Mr. B putting it down. I'm the hottest round. Y'all can't stop me now. Listen to me now. I'm lasting 20 rounds. And if you want me, then come on get me now. Is you with me now? The biggie, biggie bounce. I know you dig the way I switch my
style. And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. Everybody take a shot. I screwed up the plug. In the first 5 minutes of the show, go me! If you don't know who I am the host, Lindsay Ward. I love a lot of things. Just prepare for that. And joining me, as always, is my ever-diligent co-host slash producer slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I am here as we get our fuck on. I enjoyed, for one, the halftime show on Sunday.
I thought it was good.
That was great. It was amazing. It was a fun halftime show.
And so, I'm still kind of impressed Katy Perry had that many costume changes.
Right? And, you know, while some people thought it was Bam Bam Bigelow inspired, I didn't actually think it was, but cool if you did.
Bam Bam Bigelow or Katniss Everdeen, I've seen both.
Yeah, I saw that too. So it's like, hey, whatever floats your boat, I guess is the best way to put it. But yeah, I thought it was good, and some of the music tonight is inspired by said halftime show, because Missy Elliott was back.
Right? I was so excited to see her.
We freaked out. I was like, wow, what? Wait, is that who we think it is?
Yeah, that's who we think it is. Because it's like, oh, hey, look, it's Lenny Kravitz. Awesome. And then, well...
Welcome back to the 90s.
It's Missy. Welcome back to the 90s. Missy Elliott came back and returned, and it's like, oh, hey, how about that?
How about that, right? It's
like, oh, pretty freaking sweet.
Right? So that was pretty cool. And, you know, would you have run the ball on second and goal?
I would have totally run the ball on second and goal.
So would have I, but, you know, the other coach, Pete Carroll, was like, nope, not going to do it.
Nope. Instead, and he doesn't, yeah.
He doesn't regret throwing the pass either.
He doesn't.
He's not going to, you know, it's not going to be the worst call ever to him. It's just the call just didn't go right. So, anyway, welcome to NFL Talk right here on The Rack.
Right, we're supposed to be a wrestling show, but we talk football too, because, you know, well...
It's been a slow news week.
It's been a slow, slow news week. And, well, I guess we should get into what little news we have, brought to you by our friends over at pwmania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And, well, we have a quick note that we have to add from last week, because we forgot. I knew we forgot something.
She did say we forgot something, and, well, she was correct about that one.
And it was WWE news, and, well, we have to offer our congratulations to one Adam Pearce, former guest of The Rack, for getting a job with the WWE Performance Center. He's going to be starting as a trainer, I believe.
I believe that's his official role, which is awesome. He's been doing guest spots there from time to time, but apparently he's officially working with the E right now as a trainer. That's awesome news, because he's one of the best, and they need the best, so... And he's been around a lot of some of the guys in the center right now for a while in his career, mm-hmm. so probably makes them feel a lot better. Guys like Owens and Kenta and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, he can be there as a mentor, he can be there as a friend, he can be there as a trainer, he can help them out, and, you know, the guy knows his stuff. He's a wonderful asset to the business, and if you didn't know, he hung his boots up late this summer in the fall, or actually I think closer to the winter, but he retired from the indie scene
in that general time frame.
I can't remember exactly, but you know, very sad to see him stop wrestling, but he will be a wonderful, wonderful asset to WWE.
To basically say it, late last year.
Yes, late last year.
To just correct the time frame. Late last year, he sort of backed out of the ring.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, well, another small note, DDP is opening a fitness center? Yoga center?
Where at?
Well, it's right here in Atlanta.
You should totally go find out where.
I plan on it. But, well, until we find out, we have a press release. Former WCW champion Dimas Dallas Page's DDP Yoga is in the midst of building what has been described as a $2 million facility in Atlanta, Georgia. That will serve as a full-time hub and performance center for DDP Yoga as the regime prepares to launch a DDP Yoga app. They have an app.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Fancy. They're getting technical with apps. That's just awesome.
It's the wave of the future.
It is.
Page, as well as other instructors, including Stevie Richards, will be working full-time out of the facility, which will broadcast live workouts as well as feature a nutritional and cooking shows, plus a full production and editing suite. The plan is to have a regular weekly open house as well as private classes beyond the broadcasting. The construction on the facility is currently underway, and the hope is to be there later this month for setup and officially open sometime in April. So I wonder where, it's got to be somewhere, I would bet, downtown.
Probably. They probably got some sort of location downtown. That's kind of awesome.
It is kind of awesome. I'm just trying to figure out where it could be. The only thing place I could figure is possibly Fort Benning, that or their building in North Georgia. But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool that he's grown to the point that he can build his own studio to broadcast.
All right, we might have to send you down there as an on-the-spot reporter and go find some stuff out.
We may have to. I still want to get my toes done with him, like him and Jake.
That would be kind of epic.
I want to go get my toes done with Jacob Roberts. That would be amazing.
That would be a story for a lifetime.
Right?
You could tell your grandkids, I once got my toes done with this famous wrestler named Jake Snake Roberts.
It'd be epic.
It'd be a story, that's for damn sure.
It would be. And, well, one last real quick note for the news, because, like we said, we don't have a lot this week. Shawn Michaels has announced that he will be releasing his second book in the next upcoming week. In his new book, Wrestling for My Life, The Legend, The Reality, and The Faith of a WWE Superstar, the iconic professional wrestler shares his uplifting, unlikely story of renewal and redemption and dares readers to consider what God can accomplish in their own lives. Written with best-selling author David Thomas, Wrestling for My Life serves as a spiritual sequel to Shawn's 2005 best-selling autobiography, Heartbreak and Triumph, The Shawn Michaels Story.
Huh.
And, well, we happen to have two copies.
We do. As you look on the screen right now, here's the copy of said book. You can hear it, too. Hardcover.
Very nice. Very pretty book.
It's a short book.
Yes, it is. It's a short book. It's only about
163 pages, I believe it is.
With big type. Yes, very big type.
And pictures.
But, well, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking all about the book. So we'll let you know when that's going to happen, but we have to read it first. And then, well, I guess we're going to do a little review of it.
a review is a good way to put it. We're going to review the book.
Hint, Shawn Michaels. Hint.
Nudge, nudge. Hope y'all figure that one out.
Yeah. And, well, we may have to break your hearts, too.
Too, because, you know, we're showstoppers like that.
We totally are. We steal the show every time. Not really.
But, yeah, so go out and get this book. It's available on February 10th at all major booksellers. It seems like it's good to read. I've read a little bit of it. Pretty good.
I haven't had the chance to read it yet, but...
Seeing as we just got them yesterday.
Seeing as I just got it yesterday and I had to work today and I forgot to take it with me to work, but yeah, I'm planning on taking it tomorrow and reading it tomorrow, so...
We'll have a review for you here in a couple of weeks.
We will. But, well, now we have serious business.
We need to be serious for a minute.
We need to be serious for a minute. Because, well, we have an announcement to make.
We have an announcement?
We have an announcement!
Oh, man, what's this announcement?
Well, this past week, or 2 weeks ago, has it really been 2 weeks?
It's been since Friday.
Friday? Okay. It's been a really, really long week, y'all.
No, here's the thing. We knew about it prior to Friday, so it's been like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's actually been about two weeks.
But we couldn't have said anything till like.
We're not allowed to say anything. But yeah, if you don't know, the Wrestling Radio Awards were this past weekend, and well, if you're not familiar with what those are, they're basically way to goes in the wrestling radio community, handed out by AudioWrestling.com, where they have different categories and people can vote. You can also be nominated for Editor's Choice. And it's just basically the entire internet wrestling radio community coming together, and we're all celebrating each other and recognizing each other for our individual skill sets.
Yes, we even though we were up for awards for Show of the Year with the likes of Busted Open Radio, which is heard on Sirius XM, putting on out. Some of our interviews were up, as Kane was up for Male Interview of the Year, and Natalya was up for Female Interview. We thank everyone who voted.
Yes, we do. We thank everybody who voted for us. We were very honored and humbled that we made the finals for Male Interview of the Year, Female Interview of the Year, and Show of the Year.
We were unsuccessful at taking down CM Punk.
We tried so damn hard.
We tried really, really hard to take down CM Punk. I mean, it's CM Punk after all. But we came up a little bit short against CM Punk, just a little bit. But that's okay. He's CM Punk, supposedly the best in the world, so it's not surprising when over 2 million people heard his interview that he would win such an award.
Correct, yes.
We had a hard mountain to climb on that one, but we did come away with an award, though.
We did, yes. We triumphed. We triumphed in another category. We ended up receiving Editor's Choice Female Interview of the Year for Natalya, and so we are very... very grateful and humble and so appreciative for everyone that thought of us for this award, and we couldn't have done it with everybody's out there support.
Yeah, we appreciate everyone who has supported us on the show throughout the year, help promote the interviews, you know, talk about the interviews and all that other fun stuff. A lot of people on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, everywhere, they've helped us along the way. So we thank everybody. Anyone who's ever listened to this show, we thank you for listening. So we appreciate all the support in the world. Because without you, we would just be a couple of people talking wrestling on, you know, to ourselves, which we do 90% of the other times of the week. Because that's what we do.
Pretty much, yeah, that's what we do, is we just sit here and talk wrestling. And, you know, once a week, twice a week, whatever, we get on the air and we actually talk about it. So we're very grateful to everybody who thought of us, everybody who listened, or, you know... We really actually had a hard time doing our speech because words cannot express how grateful we actually are.
And we're not really professional when it comes to coming up with a speech.
No, we can sit here and we can BS all day long.
Yeah, but coming up with trying to be serious, because we try to be lighthearted and stuff, so trying to be serious about something, it's hard for us at times. Like it is right now, not knowing the exact words to say.
Right.
But we were honored, and it was great. Thanks to Brian and everyone at Wrestling Radio Awards and Audio Wrestling for having us as the Editor's Choice. If you go to their YouTube channel, right now, the where our Facebook page, because I put them up on facebook.com/WTOTheRack, easier way to go. You can hear our actual words acceptance speech, and you can hear us give away the Wrestler of the Year award, our whole discussion.
Yes.
Which was like 22 minutes long.
Was it really 22 minutes?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
He said, yeah, you can do about 10 minutes. About 20. He said we'd go longer, so it was all that. We were about 22 minutes on the thing. And that was like after we tried doing the speech, and I had just come back from a basketball game, and my voice was completely shot that night. I was struggling. And she knows I was.
Yeah, just a little bit.
It's like,
he's like, I'm going to go to the basketball game. We have to do the speech, but okay.
You know, when you're offered a ticket for $20, you go to a basketball game.
Well, I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
I know. It's like, it was one of those last-minute things like, oh, yeah, we have to record like 30 minutes of audio later. Crap.
Yeah. So, once again, thank you. Thank you so much to everybody. We are very appreciative. This is the second year in a row, I should mention, that we have won this particular award, and the third year running that we have won an award, period, at the Wrestling Radio Awards. So we feel very fortunate to have been included and to have won.
Shows that we're doing something right.
At least a little bit.
A little bit, you know. Hope you all like it. You know, maybe, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
We hope
yeah.
you like us. Please like us. Like us on Facebook and Twitters, please.
And, you know, go to the website, rackradioshow.com. All that fun, happy stuff. So, enough with the mushy-gushy things. I say we take our first break of the evening.
I was going to say that's a good idea.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Wednesday night's exciting NXT, and, well, we're going to look forward to NXT TakeOver, and we'll give you a nice preview of that. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWmania.com. Again, the web address is PWmania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWmania.com.
for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we are going to jump right into tonight's exciting NXT, or I should say not tonight, Wednesday night. Still not used to the Switch.
Yeah, and this NXT...
It was technically tonight for me because I watched it, like, before we did the show.
Yeah, she did. And tonight's NXT recap is brought to you by The Figure Mark. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for the first edition of The Figure Mark Podcast with Matthew Goldberg.
Go, Matt. Get your podcast on.
He's one of us now.
He is one of us. One of us.
One of us. So this week's NXT, I was just about to say it tonight because it's stuck in my head because that's the way it is. Usually watch it on Thursday to begin with. Was an interesting show. The show opened with Big Cass and Enzo and Carmella come into the ring and they talked about Blue Pants and how Blue Pants wasn't there.
I miss Blue Pants.
It's only been a week or two. But we had Carmella taking on Emma. Emma dominated Carmella for a while in this matchup, but she sort of tripped up a little bit, and Carmella made her tap out into whatever her submission is called, where she grabs you, locks her legs around your neck, and squeezes the crap out of you. And this is sort of becoming the beginning of what seems like a change in character for Emma. She's all bubbly and the dancing queen and all that stuff, but it's sort of not working right now for her. Well, I think an attitude change may be coming for Emma.
She seems to be getting a little bit more serious.
And if she gets serious, she could be really, really good.
Yeah, she could.
Though Alex Riley mentioned that she was his first NXT crush.
Aww.
And didn't Jason Albert used to like the Bubbles?
He did. Yes, he did.
Everyone likes them. The Bubbles are awesome. Just play them out. So she was frustrated after the match. But tonight it's all about the crowning of the number one contender for the continuation of the number one contender tournament, with the finals taking place at TakeOver, which we'll get into in a bit. It was Adrian Neville and Baron Corbin. Solid match. It exposed Baron Corbin a little bit. It's the first time he's had to actually go longer than a minute.
Yeah. Baron needs a little work.
He does need a little work. Bill Dempsey interfered. This one threw him in the ring post. He almost got counted out, but eventually Neville got him back. Eventually Baron Corbin got back in the ring, but he hit a drop kick, and then Neville went to the top rope, hit the red arrow. So for the first time in NXT since he's been on his roll. Baron Corbin loses. Adrian Neville moves on to the finals of the tournament.
Yeah, but losing to Adrian Neville isn't exactly a bad thing.
He's only the former NXT champion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Baron's got a long way to go.
Yeah, but Baron needs some work, and it was announced, which we'll get into, it's going to be no holds barred Corbin versus Dempsey at TakeOver Rival.
Which, yeah, not so much. Maybe not totally okay with this.
With the no DQ format, it might be a little bit better.
No DQ might make it a little bit better, but I'm just a touch hesitant.
Same here. Especially on the live stage. Could get interesting.
Yeah, this could get dicey, y'all. Just a touch.
They talked to Sami Zayn earlier this week, and he talked about how Kevin Owens is a master manipulator, and how he, you know, basically fleeced him and Regal into making this a title match, and, well, Zayn isn't happy, and, well, he's not sure what he's going to do but at TakeOver, but the one thing is for sure, he's going to beat the hell out of him at TakeOver. That is Owens.
This is going to be good.
That's going to be epic.
I cannot wait to see that match. I don't even care that the title is involved. I just want to see those two have a war.
Right. We'll get into that here in a bit. More of a preview for the four-way coming up at TakeOver Rival. It was Bayley taking on Becky Lynch in a singles contest. First time Bayley's been in the ring since getting attacked by Becky Lynch at the last TakeOver event. And Sasha, that too, where they worked over her knee. First singles match, I should say. Bayley ended up winning with the belly to Bayley for the victory. Sasha came down partway and sort of, you know, cost Becky this one. And then all hell broke loose. They had a screaming match a little bit. And then Charlotte came out down. We had a stare down between all the girls. They've been doing a nice build-up for this match.
They have. I like how, you know, it's not so cut and dry. I like how everybody's kind of getting everybody's faces. They're all having problems with each other. It's really, really nice how they're building this, and they're keeping it on a really even playing field. So you're not entirely sure who's going to win.
No, you're really not. Which, I was just going to say, when we do picks here in a minute, I have no idea who I'm picking yet. Earlier this week, we heard from Kevin Owens. He talked about how he got what he wanted. He played Zayn, got everything he wanted 2 months after his debut to the day. He's going to win the NXT Championship.
We'll see.
Devin Taylor asked Tyler Breeze what's next for him after being knocked out of the tournament. Breeze sort of mocked Devin for a question, said the plans are to watch the rest of the tournament very closely. Tyler Breeze, if I could speak, is lurking around. That makes things interesting.
Prince Pretty has a plan, and he's just going to sort of sit back and let it unfold.
And then we got match of the night. Hideo Itami, Finn Balor in this other semifinal match for the number one contenders tournament. Great match. Slow to start.
Holy shit. Yeah, slow to start.
But really build up to the finish. They teased the GTS.
Yeah, the crowd about lost it when they teased the GTS.
And eventually they're going to explode when he actually does hit it eventually, but it's going to be some time before he actually does. He has them,
yeah.
He has them in the palm of their hands. It's amazing when it happens. But the best spot of the match was this. Baylor hit the sling blade, and then Baylor charged in with a shotgun-type dropkick that just launched Hideo into the corner. Like, his head bounced off it. They showed that drop kick on replay.
Yeah.
Like, 4 or 5 times. Man, that was the knockout shot before he hit the double stomp off the top rope for the victory. So Finn Balor moved on. But that drop kick, his head just snapped. It was just... Bam.
Yeah, that was a great, great spot between the two. Really well done. The double stomp off the top rope after the drop kick...
They finally shot it right.
Right?
They've been listening. Or at least they've been working on it.
I think they've been working on it with him. I think he's finally starting to learn maybe how to work the cameras, and the cameras are trying to finally starting to figure out his angles.
And that's sort of what he said to someone, or I heard it somewhere, where that's why he wanted to go down to NXT. He never knew, like, in Japan... they don't tell you where the cameras are. They don't help tell you how to film an entrance or anything like that. You just sort of have to go out there. Hell, I heard this one thing, and before we get back into NXT, about the New Japan pay-per-view that everyone raved about. There was no one telling Jim Ross when to start to talk. When the pay-per-view started, he just realized, oh, crap, I have to talk. There was no producer telling him when to talk. It was like, that's kind of different.
Well, I think people forget that there's indie-level wrestling, and then there's WWE-level wrestling. And WWE is completely different than anything that is ever done on the indies, to a degree. I mean, the same basic principles are there in the terms that it is wrestling, but they are different in the way that they shoot it, the way that they produce it, the way that they put it out there. It's just they have their own particular style. They like things done a certain way, and it's done on a very high level.
Oh, without question. Without question. So, yeah. This was a solid week of NXT. The match, if it was a little bit longer, would have been even better, but it was a really good match.
I'm looking forward to seeing another one.
I'll put them on a live special, let them go 25 minutes. Yeah, that'd be, something epic to see.
That would be epic, but now we have to talk about TakeOver.
The TakeOver, NXT TakeOver Rival. I like how they do the graphic for it, where they start showing a Rival graphic and they just, put over the NXT logo. It was kind of creative. Well, not.
It was kind of creative, yeah.
But NXT Rival is taking place next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, live on the WWE Network for free if you're a new subscriber, or $9.99 a month. Get it now. It's awesome. We sat here watching Kane and Undertaker from WrestleMania 14 the other night.
It was fantastic.
Undertaker could get his leg up for a boot. It was awesome.
Undertaker could fly.
And not kill himself like he did at WrestleMania 25, as detailed in Shawn Michaels' brand new book.
Yes, where he talks about that match.
He does. That's how the book opens. So let's get into the show, shall we? Start with a match. Pick a match. Let's talk about it.
Pick a match. Any match. We won't look. Alright, well, let's talk about it. The no DQ match between Baron Corbin and Bold MC. Let's just get that out of the way.
Let's get that one out of the way. You would assume Baron Corbin's winning?
This is a hard one to call.
Because Bull's been losing a lot to Baron. And I have a feeling, eventually Bull will get his win, but I don't know. I still say Baron Corbin takes it.
This is a hard one to call, just because they're evenly matched. They've both now had a loss hung on them. So, I don't know. I think I'll go with Baron. Bull just needs a little bit more work. So does Baron, but Baron, I don't know, Baron. We'll just go with Baron. I don't have a reason to justify it. Baron's prettier.
There you go. We're doing something totally different for these picks now. Just for this week only. Because I'm in a creative mood. So I asked the Magic 8-Ball, right? Ask the Magic 8-Ball for this. Will Bull Dempsey win an NXT TakeOver? Reply Hazy. Try again. So the answer is no. Bull Dempsey is not winning.
Even the Magic 8-Ball doesn't know.
Right? It's like, the Magic 8-Ball doesn't even know.
So, next up, let's talk about it. NXT Tag Team Championship match. Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy, your new champions, taking on the Lucha Dragons in a rematch.
Huh. You just put the belts on Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy, or Blake and Murphy, as they're probably going to be called from here on out. I like them as a team. Not high on the Lucha Dragons right now. By the way, we need to squash something.
We need to squash something?
The whole Kalisto rumor. Have you heard about the Kalisto?
Oh, where he's going to be the hairstylist?
Yeah, that is completely false.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to squash that. That's not true. He's not going to be a gay hairstylist. Don't know where that got started, but it's been completely squashed. Just wanted to throw that out there for people concerned.
Okay. Yes. Don't be worried. Kalisto is safe.
They like the idea of a mask and everything like that. It's all idea.
Basically, another Rey and another Sin Cara.
Pretty much. I say Blake and Murphy retain the belts and you just put the belts on them. I think there's better opportunities for them.
I would agree with that. I mean, the Lucha Dragons have had their time. It's something that Sin Cara is probably going back up to the main roster again. They need to have the belts off them for a while. So it makes sense to have the belts off them for a while and give them to somebody in NXT who can have a run, and that would be Blake and Murphy. So
you're going Blake and Murphy as well?
Yeah, I'm going Blake and Murphy.
The Magic 8-Ball says, will the Lucha Dragons regain the tag team titles? Outlook good. So the Magic 8-Ball says they're picking up the belts again. We'll see who's right. Also, the Magic 8-Ball. I like this.
Are we counting the Magic 8-Ball as picks?
Yeah. Kinkins needs to write down the Magic 8-Ball picks.
All right. Fair enough.
I like this. I like we're playing against the Magic 8-Ball. Makes it fun. It gives us someone to compete against. It's the brain versus the Magic 8-Ball.
Oh, God. We're screwed. We're totally, totally, totally screwed. Anyway, your turn to pick. You pick a match.
Well, let's keep going. Let's go with the women's match, the Fatal 4-Way. Charlotte defends against Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Becky Lynch. I'm liking the build for this one.
I'm impressed with the build for this one.
They've done a really good job on this. They've really done some good things with this match, building it up. Bayley has shown some incredible growth as a character. Finally, you know, stepping out from being very, very nice a little bit, where she wants the belt. Like that moment where she bellied Charlotte a couple weeks ago. Fantastic.
Bayley's getting aggressive. She wants that belt. And yeah, I've been really, really impressed with Bayley lately. I love what she's been doing. I love that she's more in your face, out there. She's not being as nice because she's realizing, hey, you can be nice, but that's not necessarily going to get you somewhere. And you need, if you want to be anywhere, especially the women's champion, sometimes you just got to be a bitch.
Right.
So yeah, loving Bayley, and I'm kind of rooting for Bayley.
I am too. But there's a Sasha Banks factor that's sort of in the back of my mind. It's like, does she take the belt away without actually beating Charlotte? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that. Charlotte, here's the thing about this match. Sasha and Charlotte have both been touring on the road.
Yes, they have.
Which is an indication that Charlotte and Sasha are probably on their way up.
At some point, maybe.
At some point, probably in the next few months.
I wouldn't be surprised if Charlotte's the one, or Sasha's the one who debuts right after WrestleMania.
Yeah. So, it's my feeling that they're probably going to take the title off of Charlotte, but it's possibly not going to go on to Sasha Banks. Just because they can't really give Sasha a run with the title, due to the fact that she's getting ready to go up.
So you're going Bayley?
I'm honestly going Bayley. Give the shot to Bayley, let her have a run with it, and she and Becky can feud over the title.
I think Bayley is close. I think she's one more shot at it. I think if she's going to win the belt, it'll be a singles match. I don't think it's in the Fatal 4-Way. This lead, like, to me, I don't know. I'm really torn. Can you tell? Part of me wants to... I'm digging Charlotte's act right now, and I think she needs the belt a little bit longer. Yeah, I'm saying Charlotte retains, but it wouldn't surprise me if Sasha won it.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I think my heart just really wants Bayley to win.
Nothing wrong with going with your heart. Will Charlotte retain the NXT Women's Championship? Concentrate and try again. Later, the Magic 8-Ball picks Sasha to win, just for the record. Everyone else was foggy or very doubtful. So the Magic 8-Ball says Sasha Banks is your next NXT Women's Champion. Will the Magic 8-Ball be right? We'll find out next week. Which now brings us to the finals of the NXT tournament. Finn Bálor versus Adrian Neville.
The audience wins this. This is going to be good.
Right? It's going to be... This will probably be the opener of the show. This is just going off a gut instinct. I have a feeling this will be the opener. Give them 20 minutes to tear the house down. That's my feeling on it. It's gotta be Finn, right?
I don't know. Here's the thing. Whoever wins this match is probably going to be the telltale sign of who wins the title match later.
I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters, but I think it's too early to put the title on Finn.
But part of me is like, I don't want to see Neville back in the title match again yet.
I don't want to see Neville back in the title match. And this is where shenanigans could happen, where this somehow goes to a no contest, but I don't think they would do that.
They're not about doing the no contest, no.
I would say Finn's going to win just to keep Adrian out of the title picture right now, but I don't think Finn is ready for the title yet. Need to do a little bit more with him.
And I don't think he gets his title shot right away.
No.
I have a feeling the series between Owens and Zayn, it's going to go on a little bit longer, and Finn Balor's going to be your number one contender who hangs in the background for a while. And I'm okay with that. I'm going with Finn Balor.
Yeah, I'm okay with that as well.
And the Magic 8-Ball agrees. Finn Balor, it was simple. Yes. Will he win a takeover? Yeah, he wins. Which leads us to our main event. NXT Championship. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. This is going to be good.
This is going to be amazing.
This is another one. I don't know.
This is a straight-up match, right?
Straight-up match for the gold, yes.
No stip.
Other than a title? Yeah, no stip. I can't see it ending in disqualification.
No, I can't see it ending in disqualification either.
It's a tough one. They just put it on Sammy, but having him chase may be the right direction. Because you play up down the luck Sammy because Kevin Owens stole his moment and now stole his championship.
Yeah, I can see shenanigans happening in this match between Owens and Zayn. And this is something of either Sammy cheats to win.
Or gets that quick victory. Like rolls up Owens and steals the victory.
Right, or Kevin steals the title from Sammy. I'm really kind of inclined to think Sammy's going to get out of it by the skin of his teeth. It's just, to me, it's the same thing with Balor. It's too early to put the title on Owens.
I'm going Owens. I feel the way the story's going. He steals the belt, steals the moment, and now steals the belt. And Sammy will get his belt back really quick. I would say the next couple months. Whenever the next live special is. But I get the feeling it's going to be, I came for you, I stole your moment, now I stole your belt. It's that simple. It's that, I don't think Sammy winning helps the story. If that makes any sense.
Okay, you convinced me. Kevin Owens.
Alright. So does the Magic 8-Ball. The Magic 8-Ball says Kevin Owens wins as well. Outlook looks good. So there you have it. That's our NXT TakeOver Rival preview. It's going to be different next week, though, which is weird, because every other time the last special's been on, we've come right on the air. It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing, because we'll have time to actually come down and actually compose thoughts on, like, the last couple of hours. It's like, oh my god, we got to go on air right now.
Right? Because, we can't even catch our breath. Now we can.
Like, the Owens thing, we barely saw it, because we were both about to get up and go, and it's like, holy crap, that just happened.
That did just happen.
So yeah, so that's our preview for NXT TakeOver Rival. We'll have the review next week on the show, because that's what we do.
Yep.
It's that simple, that's what we do.
It is what we do, so I say we take our second break of the evening.
Second
and final break, right?
Yeah, final break.
No sneaky trick breaks in there?
There's no sneaky trick break, no.
Okay, so when we come back, we are going to have Tweet of the Week. We're going to talk about tonight's exciting SmackDown. And, well, we've got some discussions concerning some Wyatts, some Takers, and some Roman Reigns.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Wow. Becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
I thought the people are going to be showing up at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's a horse you have, that's a horse
you have.
Not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I know.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'll have to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost! Jobs! James the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
Can't you haven't figured it out yet? What I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins got his assault to Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
This is where you jump right into your tweets.
Yes, I know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dick. Dolph Ziggler. My favorite part of the hashtag Game of War is all the boobs. Hashtag Super Bowl.
Damn it, you stole one.
Steve Austin. I auditioned to play the tree on the left at the Super Bowl halftime show. I wanted to show my range as an actor. Hashtag Too Wooden. Dolph Ziggler. Finally, someone has the guts to stand up for beer. At Budweiser, hashtag Super Bowl. David Otunga. You have a legitimate case against at WWE at Real Curtis Axel. Give me a call. I'll give you the friends and family discount. Hashtag Otunga Law.
By the way, Otunga was on the pre-show on Raw on Monday night on the network.
Is he like Taker? He makes an appearance once a year?
He replaced Alex Riley for the week.
Wow.
He may be replacing him for good. Who knows? We'll see Monday.
We'll see. Dolph Ziggler, at Pizza Lot delivery is here. Ugh, anyone have pants? Dolph Ziggler, got a new remote for my cable box, but it's slightly different than my old one, so now my weekend is completely ruined. And finally, Dolph Ziggler. Couple more credit hours and I'll have my degrees in whatever language the old guys speak in the sauna, not Hungarian.
Okay. Dolph Ziggler, speculation around Triple H announcement on Raw. Break out the green and reunite the greatest tag team of all time? Hashtag Spirit Squad.
Oh, Dolph.
Dolph Ziggler, so many deflate the balls of the puppy bowl, but you have to make sacrifices to get ahead in show business. Hashtag Bob Barker. Hashtag Kitten Bowl. Bill Simmons, Tiger Woods is a star actor who hasn't made a good film in 8 years, only he's still treated like an A-lister. He's basically Johnny Depp. Tiger Woods had to pull out of another tournament today. It's kind of sad.
Well, I mean, you know.
He's no longer Tiger Woods, y'all. Not SportsCenter. Roger Goodell. There are strict rules in this league, and we expect all of our teams to follow those rules. Well, except for the Patriots. Which is true.
Just saying.
Scott Stanford. Only one French bread pizza left at the supermarket. Party canceled. ProWrestling.net. Game-changing tackle, because if that guy didn't make it, at least two other guys would have. Christopher Daniels. Here's my Super Bowl pick. The winners will win the game by at least 1 point. Katie Schomburger, Rob Schomburger's wife. Available now at rockradioshow.com, where we read it from last year. I'm going to walk into our server room at work tomorrow with an open Coke and see what happens. Hashtag SB ads.
She's going to walk into where? Did she say her server room at work?
Yeah, she said her server room at work. Sorry, I was drinking a little sip of water.
Okay, so you scare me for a second because I was like, it just went quiet. Oh, well, God, did my headset die? Oh, no.
No, I heard you talk for a second. I was like, I can take a sip of water. Right. Because my water bottle is leaning to the left. It's awkward. Anyway, she said server room. Katie Nolan. Sorry, Nissan. Everyone knows the Jetta is the official car for people with daddy issues. The fake hit. By the way, Super Bowl commercials. What the hell?
They were so depressing this year.
Right. The fake ESPN. Man being escorted out of University of Phoenix Stadium in handcuffs confirms Katy Perry's breasts are properly inflated to regulation. Cesaro. Goal! Cheering for the extra point in the Super Bowl. ProWrestling.net. Okay. Let's get to the part where she rips off that top. This is no time to be conservative, Katie. Kitty Nolan. Lenny Kravitz kissing a girl, liking it is actually news to me. Lana. Americans find their sport so boring they need a light-up Barbie doll yelling at them for 10 minutes. Hashtag Super Bowl. The Patriots could really use a blackout right now. Brian Alvarez. Are these commercials designed to bring everyone to these parties down? Jesus. Scott Fishman. Triple H sent Texas Seth Rollins. He's ready to cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase on the Seahawks.
Oh, wait. Wait.
Wade Keller. Because of the chaos, the referee has thrown out the match. No contest. Rematch next week. Kyle Edwards. Guys, the Royal Rumble was last weekend. Fake John Madden. Tom Brady says that he wants to give his MVP truck to Malcolm Butler after discovering the tires are too inflated. Not Sports Center. Breaking. After hearing the Browns may want him, Marcus Mariota has decided to retire from football. Mariota. Better safe than sorry. Keep it 5-star. Dolph Ziggler and Ryback are the cat dog of tag teams. Hashtag SmackDown. And that's Tweet of the Week. So where do you want to begin?
Well, let's save the Wyatt Taker discussion for last, and let's kind of dive into Roman Reigns a little bit.
All right, lead it off.
Because I want to talk about this just from the standpoint that I was having a conversation with a friend at work about this, and you know, kind of what the internet's and really the fan base's impact has been on the whole Roman Reigns storyline. And for those of you that aren't familiar, Roman won the Rumble. We all know that. And everybody was super pissed that Roman won the Rumble.
Oh my God, I'm going to cancel the WWE Network.
And then they hit 1 million subscribers.
Imagine that.
But what they did this past Monday was they basically made an announcement where Roman now has to fight Daniel Bryan for his spot at WrestleMania.
Yes. Wait.
After Daniel Bryan beat Seth Rollins Monday night on Raw. So Roman and Bryan are going against each other at Fastlane for the spot, which...
They had an odd confrontation on SmackDown. We're going to mix in SmackDown as we go. Just pointing
this
out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we have to do SmackDown. I'm sorry, I forgot.
We'll mix it in as go. There really wasn't much to talk about.
Yeah. So, I feel, just from a fan standpoint, I don't think I'm okay with it. I think Roman won the Rumble. Roman has the right to go on a WrestleMania. I don't think that should be called into question because everybody's pissed. I think WWE should listen to their fan base 100%, absolutely. But I also think that other people aside from Daniel Bryan need to be pushed. Because here's the thing. I think they're honestly, they understand that Daniel Bryan is intensely popular, but I think they don't want that popularity to fizzle, and they know that the less they give you of Daniel Bryan, the more people are going to demand him. And basically, they don't want to do to him what they've kind of done to Cena, which is they shoved him down everybody's throats, and we're all sick of him, and we're over him. They don't want that to happen with Daniel Bryan. They know they have something. And I think they're purposely backing off of Bryan to keep him in demand.
I would agree with that.
The obverse of that is other people are getting pushed, and they're getting pushed in Bryan's place because, well, Bryan was set to actually face Brock at SummerSlam last year. They had this whole plan lined up for him. He had this major push, and then Bryan got hurt. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited for Bryan, and Bryan never materialized until 9 months later. And so, in the meantime, they had to find somebody else to put in Bryan's spot. And that was Roman Reigns. And Roman's been in that spot for the past 6 months, and they've been grooming him and getting him ready for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania in San Fran. And the easiest way to get Roman to Brock is obviously to have him win the Rumble, which we were all pretty much assuming was going to happen.
Yes.
Go ahead. And thank God they, you know, didn't do something convoluted.
No, they have, to their credit, they haven't done anything convoluted. And what we're going through at Fastlane is sort of the typical story before the Elimination Chamber came into effect. Because for years, always the title shot was always in question, even though you won the Rumble. Even far back when Shawn Michaels won in 96, I think he put it up against Owen Hart at one point at the In Your House. Steve Austin's done it. It's been a story that's always been told, no matter what, well before the Elimination Chamber.
Right, but it's just to me...
I hope they don't do what they could possibly do.
Yeah, I hope they don't have Roman lose. I hope they don't have Bryan go on to WrestleMania in the main event spot. And the reason I say that is because that's not fair to either Bryan or Roman. That because the internet and the fans got pissed and we all acted like a bunch of a-holes, Bryan's now suddenly in the position and he's not going to get the match that he wants, which is he actually wants to face Dolph Ziggler.
Which still may not happen, but...
And, you know, I'm sure Bryan's very grateful to be potentially in the main event for a second year in a row. But it's something of, you know, it's kind of, we all knew this was coming. They were pretty blatant about it. They made no secrets about they were pointing Roman in this general direction. And it's something of, like, I get Daniel Bryan's super popular. I like Bryan. I just don't think this is fair to Bryan or Roman Reigns. Right. Especially to Roman, who, after coming back off of his injury, has been busting his butt.
Like him or not. And it would be different if Bryan won the Rumble than you start, you know, was even in thought of winning the Rumble. And, you know, from there, go from there. I want them to stick to a direction. And on Monday afternoon, I put out the following on Twitter, basically saying, what do you expect the announcement to be? And one of the responses was Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns for the number one contendership, which is that what it's ultimately turned out to be. And my response was, it's bad for business.
Well, it hurts. It hurts Roman the long term.
It's going to hurt Roman Reigns because Daniel Bryan is your most popular superstar. I'm not saying he's your number one guy, but he's your most popular star. There's a difference between being the number one guy and the most popular.
Here's the thing. They're trying to build Roman as that next guy. He's young. He's good looking. He's talented. He's somebody that they can work with and they can keep around for at least the next 10 years and make money off of him if they do it right. But Roman needs really that defining win, that defining moment. And outside of the Shield, he hasn't really had that yet.
Right. So,
the victory over Randy Orton doesn't count. And I'm sorry, I'll let you...
No, you're fine. It really doesn't count. Because they really killed it right afterwards and having him do a rematch and not really winning the match. And him beating Seth Rollins in throwaway matches hasn't really helped either. And him losing to Big Show on SmackDown, where they... On Raw, rather. And on SmackDown, talking about how a loss to The Miz could set him back. He lost... He lost to Big Show. Remember this, people. He lost to the Big Show.
Right. He did.
Continue.
But yeah, it's gonna hurt Roman. That's basically the point, because I kind of lost my train of thought. But it's gonna hurt Roman in the long term to bow to the pressure of the fans and interject Bryan in a feud that he really has no business being in. If you're trying to build Roman Reigns as a star, give Roman that defining moment. Found it back. And let him go into the match with Brock. And win or lose, let him have a good match with Brock. Let him have his WrestleMania moment. And continue to build him as a star. You know, here's the thing. You can always interject Bryan into the title picture after Mania. There's nothing stopping them from doing that. And honestly, I would rather see Bryan go in after Mania to help punch up the summer storylines. But right now, they have a clear direction for Mania. They know where they want to go with it. And I think putting Bryan in it isn't fair to anybody. It's like Bryan's just getting back. He's getting settled back into the roster. You know, he needs to find his place because they've made all these plans for WrestleMania. And they're trying to push forward with him. And now it's, oh my God, everybody's pissed and everybody's booing Roman Reigns. Well, we have to change him. Let's throw Bryan in there because that's what they want.
And that's bad for business because he won't, the plan is to make Roman Reigns the number one babyface in the company. Don't put him in the ring with the most popular superstar you have.
Yeah, who's actually your number one babyface.
Right, don't put him in there because he's going to get booed, and the storm that happened, the crap storm that happened on a couple weeks ago on the Rumble, it's going to be even worse when he beats him clean in the middle of the ring with a spear.
But the other side to this is you could turn Roman heel.
Not yet.
Not yet, but they could have done what they did with Batista, which is basically have him walk out there the next night and be like, screw you guys, I don't need you.
The problem is, he's still being cheered.
Oh yeah, I know.
like, what happened in Philly and Hartford is not the norm. It's the exception to the rule. He's being cheered. Hell, he was cheered at the house shows following the Rumble, and he's been cheered this week on television, so it's something like, there's a small part of it, and Hunter talked about it. Go listen to the podcast with Steve Austin on WWE Network. It's insightful. Especially about this whole story, where this fans, it's harder to tell stories because we demand so much and other things like that.
Yeah, and I mean, they should absolutely listen to their fans. I'm not saying that they shouldn't. They should listen to their fans, but they should also know.
They're smarter than us.
Yeah, they are.
Simple. We may think we're smarter than them, but they're smarter than us because they know. Hunter talked about, here's the one thing he talked about, and this was a very key point in the podcast thing. That's not really a podcast, it technically is, because it's going to eventually be a podcast, but it's a live interview on the network. He talked about, in the Attitude Era, it was simpler to book, for the simple reason of, they knew their demographic.
Yeah, now their demographic's all over the place.
They have kids, they have teenagers, they have young adults, and they have old people sitting in the crowd. Well, it's hard to find a star that connects with every single person. Daniel Bryan doesn't connect with every single person. The old people probably don't care about, yes. Not all of them, at least. So it's hard to find that guy who crosses the platform in every single category. And that's why people boo.
Yes.
That's why John Cena gets mixed reactions, because most of the fan base likes him, but there's this section that doesn't, because he's not their guy. And it's something where they're trying to find the guy who hits every single platform.
And I think they need to understand that in that case, you're not going to find that guy, and you need to actually have several.
And I think that's their idea.
Is to kind of do, again, to reference back to the Attitude Era, the fabled Attitude Era, where they actually didn't have one guy. They had several. You had Taker, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin, you had The Rock, you had Shawn Michaels, who was kind of fading in and out, you had Triple H, you know, DX. You had different people for different, you know, basically different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
And that's what they kind of need to maybe look at here, where it's like, Roman is not going to connect with everybody. Dolph Ziggler is not going to connect. Dean Ambrose isn't going to connect. Bray Wyatt isn't going to connect. Seth Rollins isn't going to connect. But if you have all of them there and you keep pushing them and you keep them strong, the people that they do connect with will be loyal to them and will stand behind them. And that's what they ultimately want, is they want these guys to get over because so they can make money.
Right. Exactly.
And it's really difficult to do that when you keep bowing to pressure of one particular demographic or one particular group wanting one person and giving them that one person and sacrificing another person for the sake of said, you know, the first one.
Right.
And so it's just, you know, in terms of getting them to Fastlane, I'm fine with it. If they take Roman out of the title picture, for the sake of Brian, I'm going to have a huge problem with that, because it's, you know, honestly, I don't think, and this is going to sound really harsh, but I don't think Brian deserves to be in the title picture right now, coming back directly off of injury.
Yes and no. He does, but he doesn't.
He deserves to be there based on merit, but he doesn't deserve to be there based on accomplishments in the last month to 2 months. And I agree, neither does Roman, aside from winning the Rumble, and that's the golden ticket. I don't think Roman is ready for the title yet. I think Roman's still a year away. He needs a lot of work.
Right. LeMans goes, I wouldn't mind Reigns that much if they booked him like he should be. Not like an underdog. We've had enough of that with Cena. I'm with you. He shouldn't be booked as an underdog.
No, he shouldn't.
He should be an unstoppable badass who destroys people going up against the unbeatable beast. That's the story you need to tell. Unstoppable force meeting a beast who hasn't been beaten. He's the guy who took down the streak. Imagine if you have a guy on a roll dominating people like the Big Show, away he lost to him, but dominating the Big Show. Taking out Daniel Bryan. We've said this for months. Our concern with Roman Reigns was trying to find people for him to beat. That's the problem. but he's not letting them beat him to begin with.
Yeah, you know, having him lose to Big Show was on Monday night was a big,
big
no-no.
It was stupid. It was really, really stupid.
Like, I get what they were trying to do with it, but it's not going to work for Roman. Don't make him an underdog. Make him the unstoppable badass.
Immovable object against an unstoppable force. Best way to put it. Good job, Mans. It's the best way to put it. Because that's the match you want to see. You want to see... It's why all the big-time matches always are good, because you have two guys on a roll.
Yeah.
You don't need someone as an underdog. If you wanted the underdog story, Daniel Bryan's your guy. He's the ultimate underdog. That's your guy.
Yep.
You want someone strong. You want a different type of match. Roman Reigns is supposed to be a badass with the Superman punch and the spear. Like, come on, man. That's how I would get behind Roman Reigns if he's dominating people. But they have him sell too much, and he doesn't dominate. And he's losing. What's Roman's last big win? Beating The Miz on SmackDown?
I think so.
Winning the Rumble where he wasn't dominant? That was their first mistake. He should have looked stronger in the Rumble. He was booked poorly in the Rumble because he didn't do very much. Even though he limited a few people, but here's the thing, and we're gonna move on to Undertaker in a minute. Last year's Rumble, if you take that story, you put it into this year's Rumble, and you have him dominate people, person after person after person, on his way to Brock, that's your story.
Yep.
But they blew their load too early last year by having him eliminate 12 people. Now, he's sort of in a, let's sort of push him, sort of not really. Don't worry about the crowd. The crowd will begin a guy. When you put two beasts in the ring together, they'll fight. They'll have a great match. They'll get the crowd where they need to go. But the way they've booked him, how poorly they've booked him, they're screwing up this main event. Don't put Brian. I wanted Brian in the main event. Don't screw Roman Reigns over. That's the end of that. That's sort of the point of that one.
Yeah, but I would agree with that.
I asked the question, why should we support him right now? And I asked it on Twitter and all social media. I got one response. He has a great look, brilliant body language. He's one of the few workers who doesn't need to talk to get his point across. And he's got a powerful presence. I would let him talk less. Don't make him too wordy, because that's not who he's supposed to be. And they bring up that he has a limited moveset and he's too green and has problems, and that's right. And he's badly scripted. Don't script him badly. If you want him, it's an easy story to tell. And they're sometimes I think they overthink it. And I think they sort of overthought it this year a little bit with Roman. It's so simple. So simple. But again, they're trying to book for everybody, but they're telling the wrong story with the wrong person. If you want underdog, use Daniel Bryan. If you want something else, use Roman. Like, figure it out. And please, let Brian go on and do something else at WrestleMania. Let Roman take Brock and go from there. I'm going on that point.
I would agree with that.
So should we do a transition now?
We should do an awkward transition. Hold on. Speaking of...
No, you want the awkward transition? I'll give you a better one.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
I was waiting for that.
There's your awkward transition. Hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
So, speaking of WrestleMania and things on the horizon and being torn about things, we have to kind of talk a little bit about Bray Wyatt and the something-something he's got going on because, well, Bray is dropping major hints because Monday night, Bray basically called out somebody.
Well, with that, in case you missed it, well, here.
I've been called many names in the past. Seducer. Accuser. Destroyer. And you? You may call me Bray. Because I've been watching you, man. I've been watching you for quite some time now. And oh, how they used to fear you. Look what you done did. You let all that fear turn into love and admiration. Me, I'm a little bit different. Me, I am the new face of fear. I am the dragon. The devil
is real, man. And he cannot wait to see you again. I know you're listening. Find me.
And then we have to talk about tonight's too, but tonight's was slightly less blatant.
Do we want to hear tonight's?
In a little bit. Let's not play back to back.
Okay, we'll get to this in a minute. The other one. All right. So talk about the awkwardness.
There's two people. This could be. It's given the hints that he's dropping, and we could be completely wrong. But given the hints and given the rumors, it's either Kane. Or it's Taker.
Kane, who came back after being destroyed in a casket on SmackDown, beating the crap out of Daniel Bryan at the end of SmackDown. Boo, Kane, boo. Got a haircut, though.
Yeah, did get a haircut. Looking spiffy. Or it could be Taker, which that is the rumor that Bray Wyatt is, in fact, going to get the Undertaker at WrestleMania this year, since they don't want to pay Taker's downside for doing nothing.
They don't want to just pay him to sit at home with the kids, going, hi. I'm Mark Calloway.
Yeah. So, this is a hard one because, and again, this is brought up by somebody in the WTR chat. I'm with them in a sense that I don't want to see Taker wrestle again.
Yeah, Michael from Sweden brought it up the other day. He put it in the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Join the group. Be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, Michael, this discussion is all your fault.
Right, yeah, it spurred some conversation. You brought up The Undertaker and you mentioned her, so, you know.
Yeah, this is all your fault, so everybody blame Michael. But I'm on that side that I don't want to see Taker wrestle again. Just because after last year, it's like, enough is enough. You know, he's been on a really, really steady decline the last couple of years, and it's just something of, I know he's hurting, I know he's busting his balls for us to train and get ready, and his body's paying the price, and it's just something of, you just want him to stop and rest and just recover and heal his body as best he can.
Right.
So I get that side of it, and plus the streak is gone. There's really no reason for The Undertaker to come back. However,
this is the big but in the situation.
I want to see Taker and Bray go to war. I really, really, really want to see it, just because I want this to be the proverbial passing of the torch to Bray Wyatt from The Undertaker, where you have that transition from one kind of supernatural character to the other. And just the stories that they could tell between Taker and Bray would be absolutely phenomenal, because I know Bray's gone on record as saying he has a plan for this. He knows how he wants this whole situation to go, which probably got pitched to Taker.
Most likely, yes.
And I would bet Taker, you know, obviously said yes, with some tweaks here and there. I mean, but if this plan is half as good as the original plan, if that's what was agreed upon, we could have something really super special on our hands. Because Bray clearly doesn't half-ass anything. And so he would have a really good idea for what he wants to pull in, and given the history of The Undertaker and what all is there, you could do quite a lot with him.
I would agree with you.
So, it's hard, because you, and maybe I just want the build more than I want the match, because honestly, the match is not going to be super wonderful. Bray will sell for Taker, Bray will make Taker look really good.
I want a new memory. I think that's, to me, I want a new memory, because last year's memory sucked.
Yeah, I don't want the last memory of Taker, because I'll get to that in a second, being him limping up the stage, broken, after he got his ass whooped.
If he's going to get his ass whooped, I want to see him be The Undertaker and make a fiery comeback and not a half-ass comeback because he was injured last year. If he's going to lose, which he should,
yeah,
let it be something to the point where he actually gives us that match. Give us the match we were all expecting last year, if you pass the torch for the streak ending, come out with a great match. And I think that's, to me, that's what's missing, what's sticking out in my head is like, I want to see that one, I want to see one last great match. Because it could have, the last great match was Hunter and Taker.
Yeah.
Like, the CM Punk match was fine, but it had, couldn't hold a candle to Hunter and Taker with Shawn. It doesn't hold a candle. Not at all.
I think the difference between the Punk match and the Hunter match is honestly Punk didn't give a fuck.
That's part of it. But it didn't have the greatest of story. I think this is going, the good matches of Taker's career always have a good story. Reason why Hunter and Taker was really good in the Cell is that a great build with a great story. I have a feeling this is going to be a great building story.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Well, Mans brings up, if he loses, doesn't it make Lesnar win look less impactful, seeing as this new guy beats Taker? Yes and no. It can also show what Lesnar's impact was.
Yeah, I would more say that Lesnar beat Taker so bad that Taker's just never the same, because I brought this up before we went on the air tonight. It's, well, if Taker shows up, how is Taker going to show up? Is it something of, he shows up like we've always known him, with the bells and the fog and whatever, or does he walk out as just Mark Calloway?
Hi, you know, I'm Mark Calloway.
Yeah, and because they said, you know, well, if the streak dies, the Undertaker dies. So, okay, well, Bray Wyatt now wants the Undertaker. Well, you know, what if he's not the Undertaker anymore? What if he's just Mark, and he walks out, and he's like, what the hell you want?
Bray Wyatt knocking on the glass. Mark, are you home? Are you home? Mark, there? Can we have a match, please? Go away, kid. Get off my lawn.
I have cookies.
Leave the cookies on the doorstep. Get away, kid. Get off my lawn. Now, he'll come back as the Undertaker. I have a feeling he'll come back as the Undertaker, because that would be weird if he didn't.
Yeah.
But it's always good thought process of what would happen if he doesn't come back as the Undertaker. Again, it's being torn about the situation, because you want to, it's the health question. If we knew Taker was healthy enough,
That's the thing, Taker's health hasn't been
the greatest lately.
Yeah.
God, the makeup people do great work.
Yeah, they really do. Those makeup people are amazing, but I think from this, I want the build more than I want the match.
We want to see Taker be Taker one last time. And that was something to the point I've thrown out scenarios all year long. It's like, maybe he doesn't come back for a match. He comes back just to be the Undertaker. Have him have a moment rather than a match. But they seem to be going in the direction of match. And it's you're very torn about it, just because you just don't know.
Because the thing with the match is, we all know Taker doesn't have many left in him in terms of matches. He's on the definite backside towards the very end of his career, and so the question is since Brock got the streak, does Bray get the career?
He possibly could, and the man goes, I respect Taker too damn much. I just hope he doesn't end his career with the loss. He deserves better, in my opinion. I'm 100% with you. And again, this could be the end, or he could come back and you could have that one final redemption of the Undertaker in Texas. Texas could be the redemption year.
Yeah, I would say Texas could be the redemption year, and I would be completely okay with Texas being the redemption year. You give him someone that would lay down for him.
Because
I wouldn't give him anybody young or anybody new.
Because even if Taker comes back in 32, it won't hurt Bray, because Bray will still be one of the two. He'll be one of two people to beat the Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, if this match happens, Bray needs to win. That's just how this has to go.
Yeah, I can also see Taker winning, because if that's gonna be that's we're 2 months ahead of the conversation for WrestleMania pick, because it's 2.5 months away. But we have so many opinions. Not even funny. Because we could work out 10 different scenarios on who should go over and how they should go over and why they should go over, and we would still ask the Magic 8-Ball and we would be torn. Because that's the way we roll.
No, that's the thing. I'm not torn on who should win. I'm firmly in the corner that Bray needs to win. If this is not Taker's, if this is not the final match, or if it is the final match, Bray needs to win just because this is a career-defining match, a career-defining moment for Bray Wyatt, and they took it away from him last year when he faced Cena and it hurt him.
Oh.
And he's only just now recovering from it, and he needs this win.
Oh, I'm firmly in the camp that he needs to win, but I can come up with scenarios where Taker would win.
Oh, I can come up with scenarios that Taker would win, too, but it would still hurt Bray.
Oh, it would hurt Bray, but it would hurt Bray. A loss would hurt Bray more than it would hurt the Undertaker. Because, again, like I said, you can work the redemption a year later if you wanted to. And that could be something where you have a heel talk crap all year long, and then the Undertaker comes back and just destroys the dude in 5 minutes. Bing, bam, boom. Done. Easy peasy. And you send the Undertaker out, lights come down, he does a little thing with the kneels and holds up the hand and all the fireworks and explosions and lightning go boom and all that fun, happy stuff. And I'm with the man, it would be extremely sour, but I guess at some point if Bray wins, it's one of those things where sometimes like it's hard with the character of the Undertaker. Because he's become human for a while, and there's been parts where he's been human with Hunter and Shawn, but then again, you think back with Brock, he wasn't human, he was the Undertaker, so it's just sort of, it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard to say. You know what I mean? We're in a tricky situation. Your heart wants one thing, your mind, and he's in that thing. His heart says one thing, his mind says another, his body says another. It's like, what do you do? How do you do it? And I guess that's the ride we are on.
I guess it is, and we're going to have to see how it all goes. I still am very curious to see what they do. I have a good feeling about this. I don't have the same feeling I did with Brock. I have a really good feeling that this is going to go the way we all want it to go in terms of how it's going to be booked. Because I think Hunter's going to get his hands on this one. I don't think Vince is going to be his hands on at this one. I think the right people are going to be involved. And what we're going to see is something really special.
And I think after seeing Vince and Taker embrace on WWE 24, he wants Mark to look better this year.
Yeah, I think they're gonna make up last year to him, and they're gonna give him something really spectacular.
I'm 100% with you, but we'll talk about that more in the coming weeks ahead because it's only gonna get more interesting as we go because the stories are gonna be told and the Gong Man will show up at some point, probably after Fastlane.
And when he does, I will lose my shit on air. Just warning everybody now. But on that note, I say we're done.
We are done. Once again, we'd like to thank everyone who has supported the show in the last year as we came away with the Wrestling Radio Awards. Editor's Choice Female Interview of the Year with Natalia. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com. You can hear the entire speech we gave. Go back and listen to the speech we gave earlier in the show. And go listen to our roundtable for Wrestler of the Year. All at WrestlingRadioAwards.com. The Rack Extra Total Divas returns next week since there was no episode because of the Super Bowl. So check out RackRadioShow.com for previous episodes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/WTRRack as well. Saturday night, Midnight Dish is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, Facebook.com/cigarettes, butts, and bananas. CBRadioLive.com and use the hashtag BlameRob. Sorry, been striking a couple of names in the last couple of days. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio returns 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Mason, and Maggie after taking a week off from the Super Bowl. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday is the Raw Post at 11:10 p.m. Eastern right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We're back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR_The_Rack, Facebook.com/WTR_The_Rack. Said subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/WTR_The_Rack. And go to RockRadioShow.com as well. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. Or get us on iTunes at Stitcher, Rack Radio Show, TuneIn Radio, Wild Talk Radio Network, and Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes for all the other podcasts as well. Yeah, there you go.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lynn Sword, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it's available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lynn Sword, same as the Twitter. Don't forget to check out recradioshow.com, and please also visit our very fine sponsors, pwmania.com, tnaasylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Keep your eyes on my ba-bum ba-bum bum. You think you can handle this ka-dunk-a-dunk-dunk? Take my thumb off and my tail go boom. Cut the lights on so you see what I can do.
Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. It's your primitive and wet yet. It's your primitive and wet yet. If you get a
wildtalkradio.com.